In May 1966, Brewster Kyle founded and launched the Internet Archive. It started out as something to preserve pages on the World Wide Web before merging as a larger archive of moving images, texts, and even books. Nowadays, it's home to about 866 billion web pages, 44 million books, and over 10 million videos. But now news publishers such as The Guardian, The New York Times, The Financial Times, and US Today all confirm that they are ending their connection with the platform. The Wire's Thomas Kutis asked Dr. Ty Nelson, Senior Lecturer in Media at Macquarie University, what news publishers have against the Internet Archive.
So several major news organisations, companies like The New York Times, The Guardian and USA Today, have all decided to block the Internet Archive's access to their catalogues. So what do the news organisations have against the Internet Archive? It's not that they don't like the archive itself. The problem is that the archive is being used by tech companies who are trying to train their own AI, their own technologies, on the work that's, you know, the archives of news publishers. And to get access to it, those kind of sneaky news companies have apparently been using the Internet Archive as a backdoor. So those news organizations, it's not that they really want to block people from being able to see their front page back in 1999. And what they want to do is stop tech companies like Meta or a company like that from being able to access their archives.
It's my understanding that people, as you said, use the Internet Archive as a free way of obtaining news. Is that sort of the main problem here, or is there sort of another sort of issue that's driving this?
It doesn't seem like that's the main problem. It is a way that people who might not subscribe to a news organization to access their pages. So if an article came out a couple of days ago, you could be a bit sneaky and go onto the Internet Archive and basically get around the paywall that that company has. That's pretty understandable. You know, I'm a lecturer in journalism, and even I come up to paywalls sometimes and go, that would be one subscription too many. I can't pay for that, and maybe I'll try and find access to it that's free. So that's understandable, and that is part of the decision-making that these publishers have. They don't want people who aren't subscribers to get unauthorized access to the news, but I think it's mostly part of this bigger issue around them seeing other companies maybe exploit that weakness to be able to access their archives.
Now, AI has been quite a big problem in our world when it comes to gathering information. So is AI such as like ChatGPT, Copilot, Gemini also another thing where, because they're always getting information for users and they don't even need to create an account on these new news platforms. Would you agree?
Yeah, so that really gets to the crux of the issue for these news organizations. Part of it is about how those AI services like ChatGPT or Copilot have been trained. News companies have taken Microsoft and taken OpenAI to court because they claim that those companies have been using news for free. They've been accessing, for instance, the New York Times back catalogs and using those stories as data to train AI. AI really requires heaps of information, news and other types of texts, in order to be trained in the first place and then to be able to access new information as well.
Which countries are sort of competing here? Which news companies and which countries are sort of competing here?
It's really a global issue, and I think part of it is around the fact that the technology is moving faster than the legislation. In Australia, there's been a couple of inquiries already, and there's been some announcements. The policymakers are trying to balance innovation and changes in technology and things that are useful. You know, many of us, I'm sure, listeners use AI, and it's useful at times in our daily lives, but trying to weigh that against the rights of the publishers, the companies that own the content and pay workers, and also those media workers who are, you know, the people in the field doing the work, doing the research, doing interviews, putting stories together, and then just seeing that work reused. So there are a few cases that might be test cases in this instance. Some of the early ones, the reason I keep mentioning the New York Times, for instance, is because that was one of the early cases where they have sued ChatGPT's parent company, OpenAI. And we're still kind of seeing the results of those legal cases come out in the wash. And we might see some in Australia and elsewhere as well.
Dr. Ty Nelson, Senior Lecturer in Media at Macquarie University, speaking with The Wire's Thomas Kuta.